Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to John Jennings and Damian Duffy, co-authors of a new art book called Black Comics, and that's comics with an X. Stick around. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of neighborhood dogs in the new media capital of the world and home of the second best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, this show has always put out the welcome mat for black cartoonists, from daily strippers such as Ray Billingsley and Carlos Gary to editorial cartoonists such as David G. Brown, Ron Rogers, Barbara Brandon Croft, and Dr. Yaounde Olu. So as soon as I saw the announcement of a new collection of African-American cartoonists curated by John Jennings and Damian Duffy, I had to find space for a discussion of black comics. That's comics with an X on the show. If you love comics, the kind that end in X or not, you'll find a lot to admire in this primer to a group of outstanding craftsmen and craftswomen. Some of these artists have reached the mainstream, but many more have not. Some of the work is gorgeous, some a little more subject to personal taste. But it matters not, as Jennings and Duffy shine a bright light on a group of professionals who deserve more time at center stage. John Jennings and Damian Duffy, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good.
Good
to have you here.
Okay. It's great to be here in the virtual square.
Wherever it is we are and wherever it is we're being.
Right.
It's like I'm in a comic panel, which is cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Thematically correct.
Guys, some people don't know. Some people, black, white, whatever, don't know that there's a comics world beyond white superheroes. What are they missing?
A lot.
Yeah. Do you want to feel that first?
Yeah. So what they're missing? They're missing quite a bit. One of our really sort of our big points with this book was that although it's called Black Comics, we wanted people to come away with the sense that black comics isn't any one thing. And therefore, so there's a lot of diversity, not only of different types of people, but also of different styles, different forms of story, different everything. So I think if what you're missing with black comics is really what you miss when you don't look at independent comics a lot at all, which is something that breaks out of, just superheroes or comic strips that you see in the newspaper. Somewhat less now, but more. Independent comics, I think, tend to get ignored by people who would be interested because those people, that audience, thinks about comics as just those particular things. Things they're used to seeing more sort of mass media than with.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking about the whole with Damian. I was talking about it. There's a genre medium kind of confusion. I think a lot of people in America who are familiar with comics or even unfamiliar with comics, like you're saying, are only exposed to certain genres, but they think that is all that the medium can do. And so the medium of comics can express any type of idea just like any other medium. It's like saying like television is only good for newscasting, which is totally untrue. It's the same kind of idea. Like comics are just for funny animals.
Although
superheroes. Yeah.
We should say we have superheroes in the book.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I want to
Spider-Man
shirt.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, sorry, this was all sort of prelude to actually answering your question, which I think there's a lot of great sort of independent superhero stuff. There's a lot of great humor, comic strip stuff.
Historical stuff.
Which we don't cover as much in this book, but
right.
There's a lot of stuff, you know, going back as early as the 20s that people, I think, of all different interests, of all different tastes, would be into with quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just occurred to me that this is the first time we've done a this won't matter to our people who are just listening, but for those of you watching on Ustream video, this is the first time we've had two people on the same, sharing the same cam.
You
could identify each of yourselves so people viewing the show will know who's talking about what.
Okay. Well, this is John Jennings. I'm John Jennings. It's reverse.
I'm Damien Duffy. Hello. I won't wave because I'll get freaked out by the camera.
Very good.
And we're JTBC.
Right.
Very good. Now, let me ask you this. How widely known are the artists in your book, even among black comics fans?
There are a few, I think, who are widely known, but a lot of these people are self-published, so they're only known sort of regionally, or if they attend conventions.
Right.
So I think especially some of the work that's taken from webcomics is from artists that aren't necessarily participating in the same kind of conventions and events that people who are based on the East Coast tend to go to more.
Right.
I think there are quite a few that people may not have heard of or may not be aware they do this type of work. We do have some people who work in mainstream comics, people like Eric Battle,
mm-hmm.
Who people might know from like Marvel or DC work, but this work is really just focused on creator-owned stuff, self-driven comics.
Right.
So because of that, I think there's a lot of mainstream stuff.
Yeah. Something else we cover in the book is this kind of, basically called like a subculture connected to certain aspects, as Damien said, around the conventions, and so there are people, I think, within that particular subculture that are really well known within that group of people. So.
And is someone like, and I apologize right now if I butcher his name, but I think it's Mishindo Kumba, one,
mm-hmm.
right? Whose work? His work is absolutely amazing. Is it?
Yeah.
Is he making a living doing comics, or is he doing other things?
Other things. Most of these people, I wouldn't say are making a living primarily doing comics. A lot of them do illustration work, animation work.
Advertising, illustration, things like that. Storyboarding.
Yeah, storyboarding. So Mishindo, he works on a lot of different projects. He does a lot of illustration
mm-hmm.
work, right?
Right.
He illustrates a book called Charles the Chef. It's like a children's book
mm-hmm.
about healthy eating. And what else is he doing?
So, like, currently he's working on a project, I think, with Wesley Snipes.
I don't know if it's still with Wesley Snipes or... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happened with that, but he was working on conceptualizing a project with Wesley Snipes and a few other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard recently.
I think it's just, I'm not really sure. But,
yeah.
But basically, the gist of it is that a lot of these people aren't working or making a living doing comics. You know, some of the people that work for mainstream companies, like N. Stephen Harris or like Eric Battle, are. So.
Yeah, although N. Stephen Harris, I think he just does self-published work now.
Yeah.
One more question before we break. Now, I know one of the guys in the book, Jerry Kraft. I interviewed him several years ago when I was doing a biography of Will Eisner. I love his work on Mama's Boys, but I was still surprised to see him here. It seemed a little analogous to some of the other work.
I don't know. Our feeling with Jerry's work is that it's primarily self-syndicated.
Right. It is independent.
It is independent, in that sense. And it's creator-owned. And even Jerry, I think a lot of his... he does a lot of also work in illustration and
mm-hmm.
animation.
Mm-hmm.
So as I understand it, Mama's Boys, like one of the driving forces of Mama's Boys is just him actually like going out and meeting people, be it at conventions or giving workshops or things like that.
Right.
So it seems very grassroots, when, at least when I think about Mama's Boys and how he's continued to sort of market it. And also it's just the other thing we really like about Mama's Boys, and we've used it in several art shows in addition to the book, is that it's an extremely positive image of African Americans, mm-hmm. an extremely comics, like funny pages friendly. Like, it seems like it should be in more papers than it is.
Right.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
We wanted that in the book.
There's an awesome factor as well. Something else too, the book also deals to a certain degree with the culture connected to the some of these comics that are being generated at different times. And Gary Kraft, as I recall, is one of the founding people, one of the founding fathers, cartoonists of the Black Age of Comics. And so some of the people are in there also because they are part of this kind of subculture that's supporting a lot of this creative activity by the African American cartoonists. So we thought he was a key figure in that regard.
Hmm. Well, guys, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with John Jennings and Damian Duffy, co-authors of the new art book, Black Comics. That's with an X. We'll be right back.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy! Johnny's stuck under that rock.
Yeah, girl. Go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck.
You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost?
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision? You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
I shoved the envelope under my sweater and sneaked through the kitchen. Mom was on the phone in the front room. I didn't want to have to explain anything. I just wanted to be by myself. Clutching the envelope tightly, I stepped onto the ladder at the bottom of the treehouse. Something caught my eye above me, and I looked up. Light! It looked as if there were a firework display going on inside the treehouse. Crackling and snapping and whizzing sounds spun around above my head. Light shot out and sparks dancing to the popping of noise. My first thought was to scream fire and run to the house to get Mom. My legs trembled as I inched upward, creeping up the rungs as quietly as I could. My heart banged so hard that it felt as if someone were hitting my chest. A couple more steps, and then I leaned forward, craning my neck to look inside. And then I looked up and saw... To find out what happens next, read Philippa Fisher's Fairy Godsister by Liz Kessler. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Slide.
I joined an all-girl band.
Hey, this is Frankie Russo. I'm taking Rock Chicks to the next level, starting a Rock Chicks band. From singers, drummers, saxophone players, French horn players, I'm going to have it all. Listen live at chataboutit.com every Friday at 9 p.m. to be part of the action. And if you don't, we're going to work the jam.
Let them know.
And you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with John Jennings and Damian Duffy, co-authors of the new art book, Black Comics. And before we return to our guests, I've got a short video I'd like to play that might give you a little more insight into the overall curative comics work done by Mr. Jennings and Mr. Duffy. Roll it.
Comics started here in the United States, yet most of us have limited exposure to comics. We may only read them in the Sunday newspaper.
but University of Illinois professor of art and design, John Jennings, says comics can be much more. He and co-curator Damian Duffy, a doctoral student at Illinois, are showing out-of-sequence, underrepresented voices in American comics at the Krannert Art Museum on Illinois' campus. If American comics have failed to develop as fully as comics created in other nations, Jennings and Duffy say that may be because comics created by minority groups haven't had much exposure. Duffy compares how other countries have advanced the use of comics.
In talking about Asia, and Japan in particular, their view of comics has always been very broad. Well, not always, but for much of the 20th century and much far longer than here in America. They've seen it for people of all ages. They've used it to talk about all subjects. There are business comics, cooking comics, baseball comics. Whereas in America, the corporate culture of comics has for a long time been based just around sort of superheroes. So that, in large part, is something we're reacting against.
Part of their revolt against the norm is putting comics in an art museum setting, sometimes referred to as the White Cube. Jennings explains how this starts a social conversation about the importance of comics.
So we're looking at the White Cube as a piece of paper, you know, as a three-dimensional piece of paper, but also those two cultures speaking to each other on the same level.
Their approach creates the feel of a single exhibition, a single story, rather than several comics sampled and displayed in a room.
So instead of taking like comic book art, which we do in comics, and putting them into a frame, and we do have pieces like that, but also you know, making them physically larger and engaging the space a lot more as well.
The exhibition tells the story of minority comic artists who are traditionally underrepresented among major influences in American culture. The exhibition showcases the work of women, Latinos, African Americans, gays and lesbians, small presses, online and underground comic creators. The show includes 214 pieces, some dating all the way back to 1927, and it includes some of America's most famous non-superhero comics. Out of Sequence has begun its showings at the University of Illinois' Krannert Art Museum. In 2009, the exhibition will travel to the lab at Belmar in Colorado. For the University of Illinois News Bureau, Kimberly Beals.
Thank you, Kimberly. Guys, I wonder if you could tell us each just about a couple of your favorite artists in the book who maybe we haven't already discussed.
Sure.
One of my favorite artists in the book is Afua Richardson. Afua is trained as a performance artist, actually, and basically is self-taught. She had always had a love for comics, but she was a vocalist and performance artist. And now, as I recall, is working for Top Cow. She does a book called Genius for Top Cow. And I just really love just her colors and the way that she uses space. And I just think she's a really talented artist. I mean, I love it, and I love the fact that she's like, you know what, I want to do comics, and I'm going to do comics, you know, I'm just a persistent, you know, in the audacity, right?
Okay,
Mashika Wood? You going to do Mashika Wood?
No,
you can have Mashika Wood.
Okay, Mashika Wood. She's great. He has kind of an underground cartoon, underground comic vibe to his work. And he does a lot of short comic strips. He also does these illustrations of these living monster letters that are super cool. My big problem with him is that he doesn't draw enough because he's so good. So I'd like to call him out right now, Mashika.
Well, in his defense, he did just him and his wife.
Whatever.
Okay. He just had a baby. He just had a baby.
I have a baby.
Like, that's an excuse. Come on.
I know. I'm just trying to look out for
him. You know. Yeah, and his wife, Michaela Reed.
Also an awesome cartoon.
Also awesome. Awesome.
She was an Out of Sequence, actually. Also, Gray Williamson, or just known as Gray, the Phantom Ninja of our book. He's also a very talented sculptor, and his work is just gorgeous. I mean, it's very cinematic. He only uses gray tones, you know, which is kind of clever because his name is Gray. But it's just this really beautiful kind of manga influence. Work that he does.
Yeah, it's sort of like it reminds me of, I can't remember the artist's name, but the guy who does Lone Wolf and Cub.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of manga, where it's very realistic, you know, and very photorealistic, but also very vibrant and kinetic and stylized and all that.
Right.
Let me think of one more. Wait, I'm looking at
the I have another one.
Now. You have another one? Well, I'll go with, Keith Knight. Keith Knight is awesome.
Yep.
People probably know Keith Knight. He's one of the more famous people in our book.
He did the foreword.
He did the foreword. We're very lucky. Keith Knight and Keith. But yeah, Keith Knight is a political cartoonist, autobiographical cartoonist. He calls himself a gentleman cartoonist, which I'll agree with. I like that. But he does a lot of humor about race issues, but also just issues in his own life. He actually has a syndicated strip out now called The Nightlife that may be where people are most familiar with him. And that's just more sort of about his everyday experiences. And yeah, he's awesome.
Yep.
Now, I don't expect someone undertakes a project such as the book Black Comics, and folks, just if you're just joining us, it's comics with an X, without having change of some sort as a goal. So I wondered what you guys would like the book to accomplish for the artists who are in it.
We want them all to receive $10 million. And, no, I'm sorry.
Small bills?
Yeah,
small bills. Oh, great.
We think about the book as just kind of an entry point into Black comics culture. And we try to make it very easy for people to find particular artists that they may like. So we have their websites in there, a little biographical information, stuff like that. So we really wanted to think of it as a starting point, a way to travel further, to find out more about artists who may not be on your radar. Because a lot of them are independent, self-published, but are nonetheless worthy of attention, and I think, or I hope, can find attention with a sort of coffee table art book like this.
Right. Mm. Yeah, we definitely were thinking of it as like really, really thick promotional brochure, almost. Really, really slickly designed, promotional brochure. There's content.
Yeah,
there's cultural content.
Well, these are like essays.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Anyway.
Make it sound like a pamphlet.
No, it's not a pamphlet. It's a really thick thing.
I'm just saying.
As far as like sort of people can understand what it is.
It's
But anyway, so that people can to promote the artist and as they have a cursory introduction to that particular to the culture.
Right.
And we're hoping to get a lot of attention, for the artist in general. And yeah, it will be, I guess, distributed pretty much everywhere, hopefully.
Everywhere where there are books, we will be there.
Exactly. With an X.
Very good. Well, folks, listen, you can find John Jennings and Damian Duffy's new book, Black Comics, in great bookstores everywhere, or order it online right now at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can also learn more about the book and the artists celebrated in it at their website, blackcomicsbook.com. That's comics again with an X, blackcomicsbook.com. They're also up on Twitter and Facebook. You can find them there. John Jennings, Damian Duffy, pleasure to have you, and thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite comic book artists, black or white, or pretty much anything else, surf over to our main website at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you, no syncing needed and no memory wasted. That's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, your Android phones, that's what I have, you can see it right here, or the BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com and check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.
Hi, this is Joe Murray, creator of Rocco's Modern Life in Camp Lazlo. You're listening to Mr. Media.